Well, that's what we're here celebrating this morning, is that God makes beautiful things. We bring our brokenness, we bring our shame, we bring our issues, and God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. That's what Easter is all about. How many of you ever had a near-death experience? Anybody? Okay, not that many of you. I think I've had probably a few to make up for some of your lack of near-death experiences, so I'll share another one with you, because since you're asking. I was on my way home from school, and I was on I-39. I was 19 years old. I was on my way home from school for a surprise birthday party for my mother. And it was in January, so I was around the Portage area. And you know when you have a snowfall, and they plow the roads, and the first time they plow right up to the shoulder line? Well, I was driving home at that point. They hadn't cleared the shoulders yet, and so there was still this, like, thick, sloppy stuff that was on the shoulder. And I was cruising. I was passing somebody, so I was in the left-hand lane. I was going somewhere around 70 miles per hour. I'm not sure exactly how fast I was going because I was 19 and I didn't care. So I was driving and I hit the snow that was in the shoulder and it pulled me down into the median, into the ditch. And I was speeding probably now at that point 65 miles an hour through the snow into oncoming traffic, into the lanes that were coming the other way. That's a problem. So I cranked on the wheel to the right, and I started sliding down the median. Okay, so you have to kind of picture this, all right? I go off the road. I'm headed towards oncoming traffic. I crank the wheel. I'm now sliding with traffic that I had just left, but my wheels are still spinning this way, and all of a sudden they catch, and I kind of launched up back into the traffic that I had just left. So I'm moving two directions. I'm sliding with the traffic, but I'm also coming back towards the traffic, right? Again, this is a problem. And so I hop back up onto the road, and I'm sliding sideways, and I hit perfectly a semi-cab. So the front part of a semi, perfectly perpendicular as I'm sliding sideways, and I kind of kissed it and then spun off around the backside and went down into the ditch. And that all happened like bang, 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 and it was done. And I remember coming to a stop in the ditch and sitting there for a second and then taking the automatic transmission and putting it into park and then turning off the car. And then I just sat there and went, what just happened? And all of a sudden, there's banging on my window and there's this guy trying to get into my car. And I open up the car door. And he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? He was driving the opposite way and had watched the whole thing happen, pulled his car over, ran across the median, ran over to my car. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have a scratch on me, not a bruise on me. My car, for what happened, was not even in all that bad a shape. And he just looked at me and he goes, I thought for sure I was going to come over and the person in this car was going to be dead. You just cheated death. And I just kind of looked at him like, yeah, I did just cheat death. I mean, like, if you think about it, I'm moving this way, and I come back up into traffic a split second quicker, and I'm coming out in front of that semi, moving at 65, and I'm getting T-boned by that thing and getting rolled over. If I come back up a split second later, I'm shooting up right underneath the trailer of the semi, which does not end well with the height of the trailer and where my car would fit and all that stuff. I mean, for real. So, like, we hear stories like that, or we go through something like that, and we just go, I just cheated death. And the reason why we think that is because we know that it's inevitable. We're going to die. It's going to happen. We're going to die. And we have a death problem as human beings. The problem is that we're going to die. And it's not just that someday we're going to die physically, but all of us have a death problem. Before we ever die physically, it's made clear through Scripture that we all are actually dead on a deeper level than on the physical level, that spiritually, in the deepest parts of who we are, that we're dead because of our own sinfulness, because of the way that we've strayed from God. And so we have a death problem, but we're not here this morning to celebrate the fact that we have a death problem. We won't stay morbid for real long. But we have to understand that we have a death problem in order to understand the beauty of the resurrection of Jesus and what it means for us. We're here to celebrate that, yes, we have a death problem, but we have a solution. And the solution to our death problem, both the physical death, which is in the, someday, hopefully not for a while, we're going to die, and then we're going to spend eternity somewhere. There's a solution for that piece, but there's also a solution for the spiritual death that happens right now in our lives, this very moment. The solution to that is Jesus Christ. And through his resurrection on Easter, which we're celebrating this morning, we get the opportunity to not have a death problem anymore, but to have life that's given to us from him. And it's life that, yeah, it punches us a ticket to eternity with him, which is great, but it also is life in the here and in the now, that God wants to transform our lives here today in this moment. And so what we're celebrating on Easter is the fact that Romans 4:17 says that this God that we're talking about, that he is the God who gives life to the dead, that he calls into being things that were not. This is the God that we serve. He gives life to the dead, and he calls into being things that were not. That's what we celebrate at Easter. So here's the story of Easter. Jesus was betrayed. He was brought into a court with a bunch of false charges trumped up against him. People lied about him and said all kinds of crazy stuff. He was wrongly convicted, and when he was wrongly convicted, he was turned over to be beaten, to be tortured, to be humiliated, and eventually to be murdered, to be unjustly executed. Even though he was an innocent man, he was executed. And which, incidentally, it's not really incidentally, but Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. At any moment, he could have stopped this whole thing. He could have called down a legion of angels. He could have gotten deliverance for himself, but he didn't. He chose to lay his life down for us, to sacrifice himself for us. So he's crucified. And when he dies on that cross, they take his body down and they lay him in the grave. And then 3 days later, on the very first Easter Sunday morning, this is where we pick up the story in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1, says that after the Sabbath, so Sunday morning at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." To the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples." Now here's the deal. We're talking about this God who raises to life what was dead, who calls into being things that were not. And I know that in a room like this, on this Easter morning, that there are all kinds of stories in this place, and all kinds of faith journeys, and we're all in a different place in our story about who Jesus is and what he's doing in our life and what we're allowing him to do in our life. And so across the spectrum, no matter where you find yourself this morning, the resurrection that we celebrate on Easter is for you. And it doesn't matter if you are somebody who, you know who Jesus is. You know the power of his resurrection. You know that he does call, he does raise to life what's dead. He does call into being things that were not, because you've experienced it. And where you were dead before, like the scripture says, we were dead in our trespasses, we were dead in our sin, where you were like that before, Jesus has breathed new life into you. You are one of the things that was dead that he raised to life. And so you're here this morning because you're here, you know what it's all about, and you're here to celebrate, and you're here to be with your people, and you're here to make a really big deal about what Jesus Christ has done for you. And even if that's your story, there is still bearing that the resurrection has on your life today. There are still portions of your life that God is wanting to continue to raise to life. There are still pieces of your life where there are things that are not, that God is wanting to call into existence, to breathe into your life, to give you new life, to make you more like him. And if you're on, maybe we'll just say the flip side of the coin, and maybe you got suckered into going to church this morning. Somebody promised you they'd take you out to breakfast if you came to church with them first. And maybe they didn't even tell you that. They just said, "Let's go to breakfast." And they're like, "Oh, we're going to make a quick stop at my church." And then they brought you in here. And you don't even know what you're doing here this morning, okay? Or maybe you do know. You do know the story of Jesus. But you've never allowed the reality of who Jesus is, the fact that God has the power and the authority and the desire to raise to life what was dead. You've never allowed him to do that in your life. If that's you this morning, the resurrection story is for you. What happened thousands of years ago on that day when that tomb was empty is for you. Jesus wants to raise you to new life, to be the solution to your death problem across the spectrum in the here and in the now and for eternity, in the same way that he's been my death solution and bunches of people in this room this morning, he's been their death solution and is their death solution. So, because you look at that story, and I mean, look at the women that were at the tomb first, right? Like if you have read the story before, you know when Jesus walked the earth and he's teaching from God's word and he's bringing clarity on what God meant in his word and he's performing miracles and he's taking on the religious elite and the religious establishment, and everybody for the most part, except for the people that were being taken on by him, thought he was amazing. He attracted people in droves. There were hundreds, there were thousands of people following him around the countryside, looking for their healing. They were all over the place. But then when Jesus was arrested and falsely accused and falsely sentenced to death and then executed, what happened? Poof. Everybody vanished into thin air. All of a sudden, where there were thousands of people chanting his name that he was the Messiah, and the next minute they're chanting that he should be executed, that he should be crucified. They left him. And there was nobody that was there, very few people that were still following Jesus, but these women that showed up to the tomb, they were faithful followers of Jesus. They were the kind of people that everyone else had abandoned Jesus, even including Peter. You know, one of the early pillars of the church, one of the early leaders, the church fathers, you know, he said to Jesus, come hell or high water, I'll be there with you, Jesus. And then hell and high water came, and Jesus Peter not only left Jesus, but he actually denied that he even knew him. So I don't even know that guy, and backed away from him, distanced himself from him. But that's not the story of these women. These women were faithful followers of Jesus. At the crucifixion, when Jesus is on the cross, they're there. And they're grieving the loss of their Savior. They're grieving the loss of their friend. They're supporting him as much as they possibly can. And they don't understand that this had to happen. And they don't understand what Jesus had said about the fact that he was going to raise to life after 3 days. It didn't make sense to them yet. They're just seeing their Savior, the one that they love, being crucified, and they're there faithfully, and then they're there on Sunday morning. They're going to embalm the body. They're faithful followers of Jesus, and the resurrection impacts them. And in the same way that it impacts the faithful follower of Jesus, it impacts Peter. Peter, who distanced himself from Jesus, who turned his back on him, who walked away. You see, if you read in the book of John, at the end of John, after Jesus is resurrected, he goes to all the disciples, but he goes to Peter specifically. And he sits on a beach and they eat some fish and they sit around a campfire, and he has a really deep heart-to-heart with Peter where he redeems, even in Peter's mistakes, there's redemption. There's restoration that's found. And so it doesn't matter which side of the coin you find yourself in, or if you find yourself somewhere in between there where you're going, yeah, I kind of do the church thing, but it doesn't feel alive to me. Wherever you're at this morning, the resurrection is for you. God desires to raise to life that which is dead and to call into existence that which is not right now. He wants to do that in your life this morning. Romans 6:4 says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death." And what that means is if you follow Jesus, that when Jesus when he was laid to rest in the tomb, that we come to Jesus with our lives, and our lives, again, we have a death problem in our lives. We come to Jesus recognizing that we have a death problem. And so we lay our lives down before him, and we go, the solution's not in me. And when we do that, we're laying our old life in the tomb with the buried Jesus. That old way of trying to earn enough good works and do enough good things or doing things our own way. We're laying that down and we're saying, I'm not the captain of my own ship anymore. I'm not in the driver's seat of my own life anymore. I'm submitting. I'm surrendering to you, Jesus. And so he says, we're therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And that new life is for eternity, and it's in the here and the now. God wants to raise us to new life. And it's Jesus, he enters into death, and then he comes back into new life. And we have the opportunity to grab hold of his shoulders and to ride along with him into new life. We die in that tomb with him to ourselves, and we have the opportunity to ride his coattails into a whole new life if we'll accept the offer that's being extended to us. But that's the question, is what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the reality of this resurrection? So if you're here today, Romans 4:17, again, our verse for this morning, he's the God who gives life to the dead. He calls into being things that were not. Where do you find yourself in your story? And again, I don't care if you've been serving Jesus for 60 years or longer. The resurrection has bearing on your life this morning. Yes, for what God has done for you in the past, but he's wanting to continue to raise to life today. He's wanting to continue to call into existence that which is not today. And it doesn't matter if you feel so far from God, that you feel like you've done so much, you've turned your back on him, you've walked away, you knew the truth, and you haven't done anything with it. You cannot outrun or outpace the love of God in the way that he pursues you. And so this morning, the resurrection is for you. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? So you might find yourself here this morning and you know, you feel bogged down by anxiety. And God is wanting to raise you to new life that is full of peace. You may be crippled by fear, fear of other people's opinions, fear of your own failures, whatever that fear happens to be. And this morning, God wants to raise you to new life that is lived in confidence in who he is. That you know whose you are, that you are his. And he wants to raise you to that new life. You might find yourself in a spot where you feel so broken, whether that's internally, whether that's externally, in your circumstances or on the inside. And this morning, the resurrection is for you. God wants to raise you to a new life of wholeness. You might feel like you're far from God, but this morning, God wants to raise you to new life in him. You might feel like the weight of your sin, you feel so much shame, you feel so much condemnation, you feel so much guilt. And this morning, God wants to raise you to new life, a life that is forgiven, a life that is free. He wants to wipe your slate clean. I don't know all of you, and I don't know all of your stories, and I don't know what's going on in your lives, but I do know that this morning, God wants to meet with you, and he wants the resurrection life of Jesus Christ for you. He wants to raise you to new life, no matter who you are. We have some stories that I want to show you on video this morning. And as you watch these stories, as you listen to these stories, listen to them because they're very different stories. And I want you to look for the fingerprints of the God who raises to life what is dead. The God who calls into existence that which is not. And it doesn't matter where you feel like you are on the spectrum, God is wanting to meet with you. Listen to the story of a few people who allowed God to meet with them.
I grew up Catholic, went to catechism, stopped around 8th grade or so, and just kind of stopped with everything. My relationship wasn't very deep. I mean, you know, you'd pray at night and every so often. It just kind of, I used to regularly, and then it just kind of went away.
Same with me. I would pray, just, you know, little bits here and there. I'd pray for my children, and that was it. That was our extent. I believed in God. I knew he was there, but I just didn't know how he could be in my heart. It was just very black and white. So, yeah, we just did a little praying. Not even together. We never prayed together. That's just something you did with yourself, and you did it quietly.
But now, it's weird. Like, you don't notice an emptiness when it was all going on, but now, when you notice the fullness of what we got, it's weird to say. We're missing out on so much.
I always felt like there was something missing. So, you know, I got married and I thought, oh, you know, husband, wonderful husband. He'd help fill that. But, you know, there still was something. And I was like, I want children. You know, maybe the children can help fill that. And granted, the children helped a lot too. But they're just, I don't know, there was just always something there. And now with coming to church, I don't know what it is. All of a sudden, you can't explain it, but you just feel like your heart is so full and you're just so happy and you just want to tell everyone about it. With me, growing up, I did not go to church. I really knew nothing about God, the story about God. And it's been nice because we've even watched movies about the Bible. And I love learning the story about him. I never knew that it was stories. I thought it was just do this, and this is how you should behave. And
it just feels like kind of life didn't stop or start all over. It was just one of those where you were going through life and we started doing church and it just kind of snowballed into things. And you feel reborn, I guess would be a good word. I think of it like I used to chew. I quit chewing and food tastes better. Everything like that. The same goes with coming to church, getting involved with our life group. Just everything seems better. You see the sparkle in the kids' eyes. Our relationship is better. Just reaching out with family, I think they've all taken notice of
how we've changed,
how we present ourselves. You know, you just walk a different way.
Now that we have God in our life, I wouldn't want to go back. Knowing now how full, how happy I am to know how we were before we started attending church, I never want to have that feeling again.
Alcohol was my idol. I didn't have a relationship with God. I chose, no matter what feeling I had, whether I was happy, I was sad, I was stressed, angry, I always had a reason to drink. I had no connection with God whatsoever, and so any of those emotions and those problems that I had, I turned to a bottle in order to cope with those. I knew that I didn't want to end my life, but there was constantly times where I didn't want to wake up. I knew that there needed to be a change. So I checked myself into a residential treatment center where I was introduced to the concepts of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is a very spiritual and faith-based program. And they actually started opening the door to God coming in my life. That was when I started to feel weight lifting off of my shoulders. And I left that meeting actually feeling a physical, spiritual presence within me. And I knew that I had finally opened my heart and opened the door to God coming into my life. And since then, I haven't had a drink. It's been a year and a half sober now, and every day I use it as an opportunity to get closer to God, in constant communication with Him, and to try to grow spiritually. When alcohol was running my life, my daughter enjoys being in the theater. She loves being up on stage. I remember going to one of her plays when I was actively drinking and vodka in my breath, sitting next to my parents, afraid that they would smell it on me, and just not wanting to be there. Physically, my mind, myself, was just somewhere else. I couldn't wait to go back home and to just sit in my pity and dive into a bottle. When I became sober, and when God entered into my life, I remember the first year that I went to her play. I was about 6 months sober, and I was that annoying dad that was just up with his camera, like, watching my daughter and so proud of her. I was, for the first time, I wasn't just physically sitting in the seat. I was actually there actively wanting to be a part of her life. And that relationship has just blossomed so much ever since I found the love of Jesus. God fixed a broken person. I know it firsthand. I'm living proof that He took somebody who was completely dead inside and to everybody else around him, just of no use, and completely rebuilt him. There's a verse that I actually turn to from when I was in that despair, and says, "But I called on your name, Lord. From deep within the pit, you heard me when I cried. Listen to my pleading. I hear my cry for help. Yes, you came when I called. You told me to not be afraid. And ever since I found God, I have not been afraid. I've been eager, motivated, and willing to walk through life as a reborn Christian man. And it is the most powerful, rewarding, and awesome feeling that I could ever describe."
So, how about you? Where are you at this morning? If we're going to take a moment. You know, I know that ham and cheesy potatoes and crescent rolls await, okay? But we're going to take a moment this morning to make sure that we don't allow this opportunity to pass us by. And so you need to prepare yourselves because you're going to have to do some stuff this morning, all right? Are you ready? You ready to respond here? Here's what we're going to do. There is a card that looks like this that you should have all gotten. And this card is representative of death. There's some dead, shriveled flowers on there. They actually look kind of beautiful, but it represents death. And here's what we're going to do. Every single one of us in some facet has parts of our life that they're dead and they need to be raised to life in Christ. There are things that are not in our life that we need God to call into being. We're lacking. And so whatever that looks like for you, we're going to take a moment in just a couple minutes here and we're going to jot some of those things down. And again, this may be you coming to Jesus for the first time in your life and saying, I feel spiritually dead. I might not have had words to even put to it, but I do. I feel an emptiness. I feel a death on the inside. I want to be raised to new life. I feel the weight of my sinfulness. I feel the weight of what I've done wrong. I want that forgiveness that's extended to me through Jesus. You might write that down on this card. You might be here this morning and your marriage is fractured and it feels broken. It feels irreparable. And this morning for you, you need to write down, my marriage is something that's dead and I need Jesus to raise it to life. You may have given up hope for a healing physically in your life right now. Or maybe you need to write that down. You might be in this place and you might be going, I feel like I'm just going through the motions. It feels like religious ritual and I need to be raised to life. I want a new life in Jesus Christ. Or I've been striving to earn God's favor and I need to, that's dead. And I need to be raised to life in the grace of Jesus Christ to rest in His love that pursues me. We're all in different spots this morning, but no matter where you're at, the resurrection is for you. So we're going to take a moment and we're going to fill out these cards. And then when you're done filling out this card, you're going to get up from your seat. And there is a pile of rocks on all over the place down here this morning. And if you remember in the story of Jesus, the tomb, well, there's a stone that was rolled in front of the tomb when Jesus was dead. But when he was raised to new life, that stone was rolled away to showcase the fact that he was not there anymore. That he was not dead, but he was risen. And so we want you to come down with this card of what is dead, what needs to be resurrected in your life, and lay it down someplace down here and pick up one of these rocks. And on each one of the rocks is written Romans 4:17 as a reminder that he is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which is not. He wants to be that for you this morning. So we're going to take a couple moments. We're going to reflect. And then on your timing, come out, exchange what needs to be raised to life, and pick up newness in Christ with that rock. And this morning, if you're here and this is your first time giving your life to Christ, we have a gift for you. By you laying this card down and picking up a rock, if that's you giving your life to Christ, we have some books that are on these stages on either side. So if it's your first time giving your life to Christ, grab one of these books. When you grab a rock, grab it at the same time. It's got a card in there from some instructions on what you need to do to allow Jesus to continue to breathe new life into you. We want to celebrate with you. So go ahead and grab one of those if it's your first time choosing to follow Jesus. But all of us, we're going to respond. We're going to take time this morning and let God raise us to new life. Let's take a little bit of time. Let's write, let's pray, and let's respond. love for us this morning, God. We recognize that there's no shadow you won't light up. There's no mountain you won't climb up. There's no wall you won't kick down. There's no lie you won't tear down. You are pursuing us with love. And it is not an impotent love. It is powerful. It is powerful to raise to life what is dead inside of us. And God, this morning you see what we've laid here, what we've acknowledged is dead in our lives. We've acknowledged we need your life to be breathed into us. God, we are trusting in you. We're trusting in the power of your resurrection to change our lives. Change us from the inside out. Wipe our slate clean. Renew our minds. Restore our relationships. Do the work that only you can do. We celebrate you this morning. We don't blow by you on the way to our traditions, but we stop, God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for who you are. Mark us for your kingdom. For your sake, we pray. In the powerful, unmatched name of Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen.